meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Some questions have a way of focusing us on an answer. Someone asked the question, what is always coming but never arrives? The answer is tomorrow. Wise people have a way of asking the poignant question. Sometimes in a way it's not the answer, but it's the question that one knows to ask. Jesus Christ was the wisest man who ever lived. This reality alone, his wisdom, points to his humanity, but his wisdom also points to his deity, for he was and he is God. And he demonstrated his deity even in his ability to perceive the poignant question. In our gospel reading today, we're driven by a question he asked in a curious way about the law of God to the grace of God. That's why the collect about the grace of God that prevents or actually precedes is how we would translate that today. And Jesus, as he typically does, he answers a question with a question. I mean, he could get away with that because he had that precision in even the questions that he asked. So this passage in Luke 14 today begins in a social setting around a meal, as many scenes do in Luke. That's one of the characteristics of the Gospel of Luke. Most of the scenes are focused around a meal in his gospel, which converges on the great final meal on the Emmaus Road at the end of this gospel, where eyes are opened when people partake this communion meal post-resurrection and they recognize Christ. So this scene occurs not only around a meal, but in a house of a Pharisee. Now, a Pharisee was a Jewish theologian and lawyer. That's a dangerous combination. The text states, now it happened as he, Christ, went to the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. Well, the unique aspect of this particular meal story in Luke has to do with one of the other guests. He is described as a man with dropsy, a serious ailment. And apparently a question was asked of our Lord. We're not told what the question was that was actually presented to him, yet the text describes his response in the form of a question that provides an answer. It says in the third verse of Luke 14, and Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and the Pharisees, it is indeed lawful to heal on the Sabbath. So you get from that what probably the question was. Apparently a discussion had arisen as to what activities were allowed on the Sabbath day. And you know this was and still is a serious question among Orthodox Jewish people as to the extent of activity, what they can do. And you may know that a secondary set of laws were created to bolster the Ten Commandments. And those secondary sets of laws became a massive bureaucracy. And sometimes those secondary laws, unfortunately, ended up opposing the primary law, the Ten Commandments. And that's what happens here. Because they're debating whether a great act of mercy, like helping someone, healing someone, could be done on the Sabbath day. Because these Pharisees, in their secondary set of laws, were trying to be so precise with the Ten Commandments that they missed the spirit of the Ten Commandments and they excluded grace. Now, the fourth commandment is, you know, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, from Exodus 20. And of course, for the Christian, the Sabbath day is not the seventh, it's the eighth day, the day on which our Lord was raised, based on Hebrews chapter 4. So the church has lived into a Christian Sabbath as well. The response to Jesus' answer to a question with a question was met with silence, which means he sort of got them, as he always did. Because the scriptures state that he healed the man and he let him go. So he not only answered the question with a question, but he actually went ahead and he healed the man. And from the Pharisees' point of view, Christ had violated the law. Because more Pharisaical questions were raised. One more time, we're not told what they are. All that is recorded is, once again, that Jesus answered all their questions. But his answer provides an important explanation as to the nature, we might say, the grace nature of the law itself, the Ten Commandments. Because Jesus says, question with a question, which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? Well, Christ was virtually quoting Moses, because the law, the very law that the Pharisees thought excluded healing, allowed for what is called by theologians acts of necessity and acts of mercy. That surely keeping the Sabbath day would not exclude grace. But the Pharisees, in their attempts to uphold the law, had missed the spirit of the law, which is grace. The same lawgiver through whom unchangeable laws, the Ten Commandments, I mean, how much more clear can God make it? He gives these commandments in stone, which means they never, ever, ever change. And no matter what humans try to do, these commandments are never, ever going to change. Societies may collapse in their attempt to change them, but the law of God never changes. However, within those commandments is the grace of God. And that is a very foreign concept to the Pharisees, just as it is to our culture today. Our culture today, you might say, in the last seven decades, has been in revolt against the Christian heritage on which, the Judeo-Christian heritage on which this whole society has been built. And of course, right in the center of that are the Ten Commandments. But you take away the commandments of God, and you take away the grace of God. How so? Well, I often tell the story about a professor of mine in seminary who went to a tennis match with a friend of his, and they were here in Dallas, as a matter of fact, and they were watching this tennis match, and the friend says to my professor, "Oh, don't you wish those lines weren't there on the court?" And my professor said, "Well, I see why you would say that, but if there are no lines, there is no game." God reveals himself through the Ten Commandments, and that's a mercy, and that's a grace. In the Holy Scriptures, there's not a conflict between form and freedom. Outside of Jesus Christ, philosophers have struggled with the tension between form and freedom. But in the Holy Scriptures, freedom comes through form. The example I always like to give of that is, if someone wants to learn to play a musical instrument, the average person will spend 12 years learning to play a musical instrument, unless they're really a very, very gifted person. But the first thing you have to do is you have to learn music. You have to learn the notes. And those of us who have raised children who've attempted to learn to play an instrument know what it's like in those early days. Lord, have mercy upon us. It's drudgery. But if a person persists and learns the notes and learns the music and learns how to play music, he or she, over time, years, can produce, well, what we hear every Sunday in this wonderful congregation. But it's not until you learn the forms that you have the freedom to play music. That's the way life is. If you don't learn the form that God ordains in the scriptures, you will become a slave. So there's a story, a comedy series in England that really didn't make it to America. But it's called One Foot in the Grave. It's about a man who seems to have everything go wrong with him. In one particular show, this man, his wife, and another couple decide to research a lovely place in Spain for their vacation. So they travel there to Spain by airplane, yet the place of their choosing is quite a distance from the airport. So they rent a car and set out to find their dream. Sadly, after a short time, they become totally lost. They can't make out the map, so they decide to pull over. While standing beside the car, the local police show up. The police can't understand English, and the Brits have no knowledge of Spanish. Finally, the police make both couples get into the car. They drive them a distance to a destination with a rather long building with bars on it. And the couple is not happy. Both couples are escorted inside. Both are escorted inside their rooms where they sit down in a state of shock. Then the leading character of our story happens to look down at the ground and sees a brochure about the vacation spot. And he recognizes that the building on the front of this brochure is the very place to which the police had taken them. What they had thought was a prison, turned out on the other side of that building, was this magnificent resort. The police had taken them to their resort. They thought they were going to a prison. And so is the word of the Lord. Outside of the grace of God, we think God's taking us to a prison. We're going to be trapped by all these laws and do's and don'ts and things that we have to do. And yet, through them, through God's commandments, His grace is revealed to us. We see the need for Jesus Christ. It's what one theologian has called the grace of law. Amen. Let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive."